Hey friend, are you swamped with scheduling, bogged down by bookings, or overwhelmed with managing your social media? This message is for you. I would love to introduce you to my secret weapon, StyleSmart VA. This is a company of virtual assistants literally designed by hairstylists for hairstylists. I found them through an interview right here on the podcast, and then shortly after found myself booking a discovery call because I was drowning in administrative tasks and needed help. It's been a few months now, and I can't tell you how much my VA has changed my life. No joke, friends. I am such a believer in StyleSmart VA that I decided to bring them in as an episode sponsor here on the show. Listen, as creatives, our focus should be on the clients and our craft. And now that I have my virtual assistant, I can devote more of my time to exactly that. The beauty of hiring a VA through StyleSmart is that they come to you already trained and able to seamlessly step into your business. From managing appointments and client communications to handling your social media presence, StyleSmart virtual assistants free you up to concentrate on your clients. And that's a change your clients will notice and appreciate. I mean, can we say elevating your perceived value? So when you're ready to level up in your business and take some weight off your shoulders, head on over to stylesmartva.com and book a free discovery call today. You'll also find the link in the show notes of this podcast episode. StyleSmart VA, empowering beauty professionals to focus on what they do best. Well, hey there, friend, and welcome back for another episode of the Your Hair Mentor podcast, where I'm your host and your hair mentor, Crystal Green. What is happening? Listen, things are warming up here in Reno, Nevada. The sun is shining and spring has sprung. I'm so excited. Minus my allergies flared up, I am very excited to welcome this seasonal change. And if you're on this side of the continent, I know you're feeling the same way as me. Those of you that are my listeners in Australia, you're coming out of a hot summer, I know. So sorry. It's getting warmer here and it's getting cooler there for you. Hopefully it'll be better. But that's not why you're here. We're not here to talk about weather, are we? I am here today to introduce you to someone who has a very interesting perspective and helpful perspective on online booking. Now, the story goes, I was introduced to this woman, Missy Meganson, through a company called Schedulicity. Now, if you haven't heard of them, they are a booking software company that is geared towards people like us, hairstylists, but there's also like yoga studios and other service-based industries that use them. But they are predominantly geared towards hairstylists. And so it's a booking system that you can use for your clients to go online and schedule. Okay. Great name, Schedulicity. I'd heard of them before, but never used them myself. And I had a unique opportunity to partner with them for a class that I did called the Emotionally Intelligent Hairstylist. I will link to it in the show notes here. And if you get an opportunity to go listen to that, highly recommend you take the time to do that. That is just my gift to you as a hairstylist here. But it's a great class. It was a really fun thing to do. And in this process, I got to introduce myself to Missy Meganson. And so I brought her on the show because she has some really unique perspectives on how to use online booking in a way that actually works for you. Because I don't know about you, friend, but I struggled with online booking when I tried to use it. Now, I did not use Schedulicity per se, but it was more the online booking in general. To me, I felt like I had to like micromanage all of the appointments that were being made, and I was constantly adjusting and having to contact clients because ultimately they did not schedule the way that I thought they would in my head. And so Missy's going to come in, she's going to tell us the best way to do that. And, you know, she's an interesting person because she is a hairstylist and has been licensed for a long time and did not start her career out with online booking, but she like weaseled her way in a great way. She earned her way in. And so she's got a perspective of like being in the company, understanding how it works, fixing bugs as they come up, but also working as a hairstylist behind the chair and making making it work for her. So let's get into this interview with Missy Meganson from Schedulicity. Hi, Missy. Thank you so much for coming on the Your Hair Mentor podcast. I'm really excited to bring you in here today to talk about some specifics that I know will be really resonate well with my audience, rather. But first, I want to get to know you a little bit more because I don't even know what part of the world you're in, Missy. Can you give us a little intro?
Yeah, thank you for having me. So I live in Stuart, Florida, which is on the east coast of Florida, kind of just between West Palm and Orlando, basically, and sort of like where we sit. And I have been in the hair industry for 20 years. I started straight out of high school in Virginia, and then my husband and I moved down to Florida, and I've been here ever since and kind of I have worn many, many different hats.
Nice. Love that. You probably started around the same time I did. I've been licensed for like 23 years myself. So it's interesting. So we started doing hair before online scheduling, before social media. And now you come to me through Schedulicity, that company that is all about online booking. How was that transition for you? Because now obviously you're like super integrated and do everything online. But I know for me, it was like a bit of a struggle when I was learning how to start using online things. How was that for you?
Oh, I literally just said it last week in a conversation. I thought online booking was the worst thing ever. I was like, what is everybody doing? I had my at a glance, like paper thing. I had my systems. I had all of these things in place. And then truly for me, online booking, I started using a digital calendar. Basically, it was a competitor app, but I would not turn on my online booking permissions for about 10 years. And then I just within the past year turned on my online booking permissions. And I would say that that is because of two things. One is paying attention to consumer behavior. And the other is I got really, really good at setting boundaries to a point where I became less client centric. And what I mean by that is saying, if you text me when you're thinking about it, I won't get offended. That doesn't feel like you've bursted a boundary. I'm totally fine, but I'm actually probably going to forget to text you back. So I need to have systems in place that are actually making the client be able to, and that's where I've just kind of, I just always call it client centric because I actually think that utilizing technology can help us serve our clients well. And that feels counterintuitive if you've been in the industry as long as we have, because everything was a personal touch point. So it took me a long time to get to this place.
Yeah, no, I love that. Like I personally, as an educator, specialize in those relationship building touch points that we have. And I know for me as a hairstylist, so much of that was the back and forth banter with text messages and phone calls and like actually scheduling the appointment was part of the user experience. And so to let go of that felt very strange for me at some point. I can't say I did it well. So I'm excited to bring you in today to talk about how to do that well, because I know there's so many of us that are super struggling with this. But first I'm curious, are you still working behind the chair now?
So I am. This is always a question mark because I have no idea how long that will be for. The I guess for context, I'll give you a little. Would you like a tiny bit of my background on?
Give it to me, girl. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, I can give you the like quick little like, yes, I'm behind the chair 2 days a week. I apprenticed in Virginia, went out on my own 2 years into doing hair. I've been an independent stylist. So 18 out of my 20 years, I'm not saying I recommend that. That's just my story. And then moved to South Florida, rebuilt my business again. And then as an independent, and then owned and operated a salon for 4 years. And I just sold my salon this summer and made a commitment to go into a suite. In the time right before I opened the salon, so for the past 5.5, 6 years, I had developed an online education company that took over my life and ended up turning into this underground marketing agency. And I was behind the scenes for Schedulicity with their social media marketing for the past 2 years. And then when I sold the salon, they were like, wait, let's talk about this. And I was like, well, I just uprooted all of my clients. I've sold my salon. They're coming to a suite. And so at first, I was like, I have to still do hair 2 days a week because I literally just uprooted everybody. And now I have a monthly question mark by it because I would love to keep doing hair. It's such a huge part of my identity. I also think it allows me to experience what our users are experiencing. I use our app in a daily basis. I found a bug with a recent update we did. Like I found it and was able to bring it to our team. So that's a cool little insider scoop. But yeah, so that's my like story in a nutshell.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm curious, when you decided to sell your salon and move into a suite, what made you do that? Because for a lot of us in the industry, getting to the point of salon ownership is like the pinnacle, right? So what made you do that?
Yeah, and I actually kind of like to debunk that thought process that it would be the pinnacle or the good, better, best, because I think one of the most financially successful things you can do in our industry is be a stylist behind the chair. I think you can do so well, and I think we overlook that so often because we think that there's this hierarchy if you own a salon. For me, I wanted to own a salon in a very specific format. So it was only with a very specific business plan in mind in order to take the tangible things that I was teaching in my online education and like pivot them into real life, basically this proof of concept. And I did that. And then COVID happened and the world happened and my kids are 4 years older than they were when I opened the salon, which the transition from your oldest being 11 to 15 and now almost 16 is basically like a completely different universe. And yeah, so I knew basically like my rent was going to be increasing about $8 a square foot, which was going to require me to revamp the original business plan that I had set out to have when I opened the salon based on the chairs I had, the square footage I had, the overhead, and I knew what I would need to do to run it profitably, and I didn't want to. And so I said, this is no longer serving me well, and I would like to be in what I would like to be in and what's serving me well. So it was okay to walk away.
I love that. At the time, did you have like a business coach or a mentor that helped you through some of this? Because I feel like that natural self-reflection is so difficult for so many of us, especially when you're like emotionally and financially invested in something, right? To be able to have an unbiased view and be like, is this serving me? So, did you have someone help you with that?
So I've had multiple business coaches over the years. I would say in the 4 years that I owned the salon, I actually didn't have a business coach, but I did have, because I had gone into more of the coaching and education side of things, I also was an Alpha Parf ambassador. So I did have a lot of very like high level thinking community around me to help me just ideate and ping things off of. And then I would say, business coach wise, my husband and I together have owned and operated multiple businesses inside and outside of this industry. We've owned two Jimmy John's franchises. We currently just merged an insurance agency that we owned for 6 years. He just started an inspection company. So I would say he's kind of my North Star when it comes to that, because we're in a unique position where neither of us, until just recently, have ever actually taken true paychecks.
Wow, that's so cool. So helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe the lesson there is just like find people in your life that can support you and help that sort of thinking. And it's probably hard to do. Like when you're a stylist in a salon, you're surrounded by other stylists and the same, you know, way of thinking and the same lifestyle. And I don't know, I think back to salon owners that I've worked under, and I know they weren't making a profit. I know they were giving it their all and they loved their business, but it was really hard to step back and look and see, is this right for me? You know?
Yeah, I had a huge, I don't really like talk about it much, but I did have a pretty big like disruptor that happened inside the salon with some of the girls that had been with me from the time we opened that really caused me to do some like true self-reflection on how it had gotten to that point and what would be required to never let it get there again. And it was no longer for me. And I was okay with that. You know, salon ownership is extremely vulnerable. And I think a lot of people think it's at that like pinnacle of your success. But I use the analogy that I'm like, being a salon owner is running a business. And again, I can't speak to every business, but I can speak to the ones that my husband and I have owned together. And this fits in a very unique pocket where it's like running a business where the public is allowed to go through your underwear drawer. That's Ooh. What it feels like. That's what it feels like. Where you are, it is on display when somebody is not happy with your work, or with when one of your employees is not happy with you, or a member of your team is potentially going to make a move. It's a very public, everything that happens within your business is very public in your community, because salons have that cool, unique factor where you do become community pillars. And if you're doing it well, then that's what you want. But then everybody gets to know what's going on when maybe things aren't the way they've always been. And that felt very vulnerable.
Wow. Okay. So then currently you are in a salon suite. Yes.
Yes. Yep. I am in a suite again, 2 days a week. That version of my business is not being run for pure profitability. I could tell you a bajillion reasons how you could run it differently than I am right now to make more. That's really just because I still want to do hair.
I know that pain well. It's so funny. You know, like at our hearts, we're creatives and we don't want to give up that special something that lights us up, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you miss coworkers at all? Like, you know, having been in a salon with a bunch of other people, I know for me, when I went to a salon suite, I was like lonely.
Yeah, I think if I was in a different, so I've been in a suite before and I was lonely. And I definitely like for me, capped my creativity for a little bit. I think I'm in a different phase of my life right now, that I don't really feel lonely when I'm there. I do miss the team that I left when I sold. I'm actually going to get my hair done tomorrow with one of them who opened her own salon. And I'm so freaking excited because I'm like, okay, I get to see everybody, but I'm an introvert at heart. So I don't mind being in my own little space. Gotcha. It's nice to opt in and out.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's enter Schedulicity. So,
So
you had kind of like behind the scenes been helping Schedulicity. You sell your salon and you ping on their radar. How are you involved with Schedulicity now and what are you doing?
Yeah, so I am our director of business development and sales, which basically means everything to do with our growth as a company. Those initiatives kind of fall under my task list would be things that are partnerships, ways to serve our community, how we want to be seen community forward within our partnerships, how that aligns with our plans for 2024, because those partnerships should be strategic. And then from the sales side, how we can communicate what we have as a company and communicate it well, and then ideally be able to serve the customers we have well.
Speaking of which, we've said Schedulicity a couple times here, but can you tell my listeners, what is Schedulicity?
We are a booking app or a booking software for online scheduling services. We also have where you can schedule workshops and classes, but really we serve the independent pro or the small salon or small service provider suite the best. I've been really big since coming on in this role about us being able to own where we own our space really well. And we serve, again, like solo service providers really well. So across the beauty industry, we also have some like tattoo artists that are super rad. And in case you're wondering, when you run partnerships and you start looking into tattoo conventions, I was like, whoa, this is way different than a beauty. So I was like, this is what do you wear to that? So yeah, that is basically what we do in a nutshell. We are an online booking platform for service providers.
Got it. I swear I've used Schedulicity like years ago as a consumer, as a customer to like go to a yoga class or
Oh
something.
yeah, that would make sense. We have a fair amount of yoga providers.
Okay, so now I would love to have you kind of walk through with us how to use scheduling, online scheduling, because I mentioned earlier, like I was using a different app years ago, and it was just clunky. I would find so commonly the way people would schedule in my day, I would have all these holes in my day, and I just felt like it was really inefficient. And so then I ended up like mother henning it and like not letting people just schedule their appointment. I was doing the booking. I'm like, this is just dumb. I feel like it's a waste of my time. So I stopped doing it. So I know I'm not alone in that. And so can you just kind of help guide us through an efficient way to use online scheduling?
Yeah, I think efficient to your point can mean lots of things because for some people, efficiency isn't set it and forget it. If you have preferences or ways that you want it to be, if you're going to go back and sort of like do double the work, then having your online booking turned on is not efficient. So the first thing that I would say to do is really kind of decide how involved you want to be with the booking process, first and foremost. And then set up a system for what that's going to look like. So before I was willing to turn on online booking all of the way, I was utilizing a form. I just used a Google form literally in my LinkedIn bio for the entire salon. I was running a 10-chair booth rental salon. That's how we operated. And then that would get funneled to the stylists that were specifically requested within that. So that was my like version of micromanaging my books, where someone could tell me what they wanted, tell me when they're available, but that would still require some back and forth. So again, if you're not there yet, where you're not ready to fully kind of let go, then that is a great place to start. I will caution you that I would say that might not, just from data I've seen and conversations I've had, that is a trickier way to acquire new guests if you are in a big building season, because a lot of new guests want that immediate gratification of feeling like they find you, they like you, and they're getting on your books. That's just, again, like I mentioned earlier, paying attention to consumer behavior, unfortunately.
So like to me the immediate solution to that would be to offer a consultation as a booking that they could do. Do you find that like consumer behavior agrees with that?
So I think it's dependent on the type of operation you're running. I think if you are running an extremely high ticket service where you are trying to basically almost vet a client before they come to you. So again, this would be, and when I say senior level stylist, I'm not saying you've been in it for 20 years. You could be senior level and be 6 months in, crushing it. What I mean by senior level is you are in a position where you are able to offer specific services at a more luxury price point, and or you have the economic capability and or time capability to vet the people that are coming to you, meaning you don't need you need quality, not quantity. That is when I think you could utilize something like an online consultation or something like that.
Meaning like you can afford the 30 minutes or the hour to not make money or decide that this person isn't for you or whatever, because you're making high-end services elsewhere kind of thing?
I actually more mean that you can afford for that client to not want to do that.
Gotcha.
Because there would be still people that would come potentially and be like, oh man, that's a lot of work just to freaking get on your books. Like, I just want to come get my hair done. Again, that's where you're in this position where you get to say the person that doesn't see value in this isn't for me. You've worked to position in your books and in your business where that's not what you have to do. Again, the timeline on how quickly you get to that point, I think, isn't universal. And I think is super dependent on the area you live in, your personality. Are you from there? Do you have a huge network? There's so many things that fall into that. But that type of scheduling, I personally do not believe would be your quickest way to fill your books.
Gotcha. Okay, so now let's think about more like the I hate to use the word average because like none of us are average,
never,
right? But like middle of the road, like the person who does not identify as a luxury high-end stylist, maybe just like the family-friendly salon or whatever, like the everybody bread and butter stylist, right? How does that person then start to utilize online booking? Because I get the luxury high-end part. Like when I did extensions, we kind of did the same thing. I would bring someone in a consult more or less to vet them. Like, do I actually want this relationship with this person? Or are they like a total nut job and I don't want them in my chair, right? But I didn't do that for like hair color clients or haircut clients. And so you're just kind of like guessing they're going to be decent or you're not investing a ton of time. So luxury aside, how do we manage that as the middle of the road stylist?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's two ways of online booking, right? It's the client that you've seen before and it's the client that you haven't. So ideally, if it's a client you've seen before, you are being proactive with your communication just because you turn on. And I say this all of the time, which I'm like, I hope I don't get in trouble, which I don't actually care if I get in trouble because whatever, because it's true. Just because you set on a piece of technology does not remove the human communication factor from it. So you still have to strong arm your systems. Just because you turn something on, technology can only get you so far, right? We kind of learned that with the flood of Instagram. That was a new way for us to meet and meet new clients and have new clients find us. But if you didn't have a system for what the frick was going to happen when they popped up in your DMs, like you just added so much more work to your plate, even though you just got business, right? Mm-hmm. So that required an extra layer of that human touch. This is where when we say client experience, it's not necessarily the coffee you serve. It's the entire experience. And to your point, we might be removing some touch points, but we're still responsible for the experience that gets them there. So when you have an existing client that's coming into you, you get to communicate like, hey, okay, if you're not going to rebook today when you're here, we can't take care of that. When you go to book, this is what you're going to be booking. So what I always say to my clients, or if they're going to utilize my online booking for the first time, I have a script that I send them that actually explains to them why this is making it easier for them and me. And it's a little self-deprecating because I'm like, I know you don't want to wait for me to text you back. So get up on here. And this is what you're going to look for, and letting them know exactly what they need to book for. And I'm going to go look at my calendar once a week to make sure nothing looks funky. So that's for existing clients. Mm-hmm. For new clients, that is going to require, again, a little bit more on your back end. They can get on your books. They get to have that consumer behavior. I see it. I like it. I want it. I got it. And then you go and be like, okay, this is a new client who's literally only on my books for a 15-minute gloss. That's probably not right. So I'm going to have to be proactive in my communication and vet that, or I'm going to need to explain a little bit better in the descriptions what this is. Or maybe I don't allow new clients to book with me online. Look, to your point, it requires some kind of communication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that touches on something that I kind of missed the mark on when I started using online booking, was understanding the timing for things and then how to name it and then how to direct people to it, because I know this happens all the time, right? Someone says, "Oh, I just need a partial highlight," and in their head, the consumer's like, "I'm gonna get a highlight and I'm gonna get a haircut and I'm gonna get a blow dry." But if you have those things a la carte and they don't select it, and then they show up and you've got this much amount of time selected when they actually need this much, there's miscommunication. So, like, step one is understanding your services, probably.
Yes, 100%. And then describing them well. And if you're in a salon environment where they figured that out for you, that's great. If you're a solo provider, this is your opportunity to speak client, not speak stylist.
Yes.
So this is like at its core, we need to know. Like, y'all, I went in to get a filler and they were using words like, oh, I wasn't getting filler. They were trying to sell me on filler. And they're like, you're marionettes. And I was like, what the frick is that? Like, I'm sure, in case anybody was wondering, that's my smile lines. Thank you for pointing them out to me, which I had never noticed before. But when we are, the best thing we can do for our customer experience is pay attention when we are the customer. And so, finding ways to speak client and say, literally, in your booking, for me, I'm not in growth mode. I'm in maintenance mode with all of my clients. They know me, I know them, and I was able to narrow my services down to four, basically, that four time blocks that cover what I need to cover with who I serve. Even still, though I've been doing their hair for 10 years, it says this is a maintenance appointment. This could be, and I spell out a haircut and a blowout, a gloss and a blowout, a retouch, and you leave wet. They get to go in and they're going to immediately read and see that this is what their hour of time is booking for them. And just spell it out.
Yeah. So, can you take us back to when you were in a building phase? What was some of the language that you would have used in your online scheduling for a new client to come find you?
I still would have spelled it out exactly like that. And then we forget that our scheduling software is to that point where they are past the discovery phase of who you are and what you do, and they're to the point where they are ready to opt in. So you have to have it primed and ready for them to opt in. So I would still say, maybe if I'm in a building phase, my service list might look different depending on how I want to have it laid out. I might have it a little bit more itemized. I might have something more a la carte. I might have it exactly how I am. I'm a big trial and error person, and I haven't been personally in a building phase in a while, but I would say, what are the services that you are finding you're getting booked the most, and how can you communicate what that is the most effectively? And that is across all of, we call it multi-channel marketing. That's going to be, how are you communicating that on your social media? How are you communicating that on your website? How are you communicating that in your description for your booking? It all needs to align with each other. That's how you build well, and you don't have to mother hen everything.
That's such a lesson, I feel like, for hairstylists, because it's a mindset shift, right? Like, I feel like the old way used to be maybe we had a menu at the front of the salon that said some of the different things, but they were kind of technical terms,
Yep.
right? Even like partial highlight is a technical term. Most clients don't understand what that means,
Yep.
right? Or a full highlight. And like, let's not even talk about what a balayage means, right? And so, it used to be someone might walk in, see the menu, and then be able to ask immediately to the person at the front desk, yeah, what is a balayage? And then the person at the front desk could translate for them. Now we need to like remove that step, and hairstylists have to think about they're translating for their clients in those services. So when you just have things listed as like a gloss, that is so generic and like could mean anything to a client, right?
What is a gloss?
Yeah.
The best thing I used to, this used to be an exercise when I was coaching social media. The best thing that you can do for any of your systems ever, and I stand by this, is have an acquaintance, not a friend, not someone that's not going to give it to you straight, but just somebody that you, again, maybe know well enough. Buy them a cup of coffee and say, hey, can you go through my booking process as a new client for me, and can you give me any pointers? Does this make sense? Did you get hung up? Were there too many clicks? Do I have it in too many places? Have somebody go through and give you a simple audit, because we can think, and don't ask your hairstylist friend, because we're all gonna think, yeah, totally makes sense. You need somebody that can just go through your system. And that's what I used to say for social. Have somebody go and look at your captions and see if they actually understand what you're saying. Truly.
Yes, I completely agree. You mentioned your husband is like your sounding board earlier. I would say mine is too. And like you would think that being married to a hairstylist for 16 years now or whatever it is, he would understand more hairstylist terms, and he does not at all
Nope.
whatsoever. So I have him look through my stuff, and even just like my website and things like that, I'll use language that I totally get, understand, and it's almost like an inside joke in the industry. And he'll see it and be like, "What is this?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "What do you mean, what is this?" And he's just like, "That doesn't mean anything. You need to break that down for people. They're gonna see that and be like, what?" And I'm like, "What? No way." But I'm like, he's right. And this is the same
It's
thing for hairstylists.
so true. When you think you've got it simple, make it simpler and try again. And this is not just in our industry, this is in every industry. So in this really unique spot that I have found myself in, this like hairstylist turned corporate girly, there's all this jargon that is flooding through our Slack channel, which is if you're not familiar with Slack, it's a way to basically like DM direct people or specific channels for initiatives. And I mean, the amount of times I've had to Google what like three letters stand for or whatever, we all have our own, every sort of industry has its own way of communicating. And so I'm constantly telling us as a tech company, like, nobody understands what that is. Like, we have to speak stylist, and the stylist has to speak client.
Yes. And then I hate the phrase dumb it down, because it's not that. Like, I think that's what a lot of people are afraid to do. It's simplifying it, right?
Yeah, and I wouldn't, I mean, dumb it down, simplify, but it's a more like, if the idea of simplifying it makes you uncomfortable because you don't want to make whatever you're saying seem of less value, I would say explain it more. And if you feel like you've explain it more again. So it's more just giving very clear, distinct delineations, like a cut is a cut, it's not a trim, like that counts as all, like those things. Do you charge for curls extra still, or is that all? Like, if you don't charge extra, then include like your style with whatever hot tool we do, maybe even a hot tool is something they don't know, I don't know, but dumb it, like literally, like use the most simple terms that you can, and then explain it more.
Right. I love that. And it's so true. That was something that I did not do in my scheduling. And then I'd have people be very confused. Turns out. Okay. So I love that information. And now I'm going to just speak from experience. One of the other things that I struggled with was, okay, I'm going to open up my online booking schedule. Let's say all of my clients are well versed in what they're going to book. And my schedule is open. I start at 9 a.m. My client schedules for 9:30. And now I've just had a dead 30 minutes in the beginning of my day that I really can't book anything else. How do you get around that kind of stuff when it comes to booking?
So in theory, there are a couple, well, it's hard to get around. I'm going to tell you that right now. It is hard to get around that, but I will say specifically, I will talk about our product with that. We do have like an intuitive booking where essentially it tries to minimize your gaps within your day within our actual technology. So it's not going to just open up your entire day, even if your whole day is open for clients to book. It's going to try to allow you to minimize the gaps within your day within the way our technology works on the calendar.
Okay, so does it like automatically suggest times to the client? Oh.
So it actually doesn't show your whole calendar availability. It populates times within the day. And if it's not being shown to the client, then it's not available. And I will have clients be like, it says your next opening. They'll text and it, but again, they're going to text, but they already have checked their box of getting on my books. So they're there, and now they just want to double check that what they did was right. And they'll be like, it says your next opening isn't until, whatever date they say. And I'll go back and look and just make sure that everything is the way. And I'm just like, yep, that's right. Or maybe I know that I would be willing to stay an extra 30 minutes. But obviously, my piece of technology doesn't. So, in that particular situation, I can look at my day and this is where I can mother hen my schedule. And I recommend this. Again, I never want to get in trouble, but I'm going to say it anyways. Just be up because you have your online booking turned on doesn't mean you don't need to manage your calendar regularly. And that means you're taking away hours of back and forth with clients. So add in 30 minutes a week of giving it a once over and making sure she looks good. And maybe you have like an extra 30 minutes and you notice that you have a client that's on a wait list, or you notice that you have a client that's 2 weeks out, and you can be like, you know what? I can totally get that done in that amount of time. How nice would that feel to your client for them to already be on your books 2 weeks down the road and you say, hey, Margie, I just looked at my calendar. I noticed that I actually can get you in 2 weeks sooner at this day if you'd like to come. You have a lifer.
I love this so much. I was literally thinking this before you said this. I was like, this is a perfect opportunity to kind of put back the human element and the relationship building element into the booking process. I used to do this even when I had paper books. I would, like, let's say my schedule was open on a certain day. I, in my head, wanted to be done at 5. And so I didn't offer a time slot to a client knowing I want to be done at 5. So then they book a week out from there, right? And then I think about it and I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't mind staying a little later. So I'll call them like a day or two later and be like, oh, you know what? I just had something open up and I know you wanted that spot. Would you like it? Right?
Yes.
That little bit of like, I'm doing something special for you. Makes people lifers because now all of a sudden you went above and beyond to make time for them, even though it didn't actually cost you anything or, maybe like 5 minutes of thinking, right?
Yep.
This is so cool because I feel like that is a really, really nice way to bring it back around to relationship building, even though it's, automated and computers and all that stuff.
Yes, it's always going to be about the relationship. What the automation and technology I feel strongly does is it does two things. It again allows you to stay up with current consumer behavior. Hello, I was ordering a freaking concealer brush from Amazon at 2 o'clock in the morning yesterday. If Amazon had boundaries and wanted to email me that I wasn't respecting their boundaries because I wanted to order at 2 a.m. Like, I just thought about it and I wanted to order the brush. And so, when we have these abilities for our clients to be like, ah, I have this trip coming up. Maybe if she has anything, I'm gonna get online and look. If we don't have the ability for them to get online and look, they might text us in the middle of the night. 99% of the time, they're not trying to be jerks with your boundaries. They just thought about the concealer brush at 2 a.m. Okay, you guys? It's like,
Totally.
so for real.
Yes.
And especially when you can do it everywhere else. Like they booked to go to get hibachi 3 weeks down the road at 3 a.m. I don't know why I'm up in the middle of the night, but this is what we're doing, people. But again, if we are able to do that in almost every other avenue of our life, from our grocery shopping to our clothing shopping to our whatever it is that we're going to do, including our dinner reservations, it's really hard to say, like, oh, actually, though, brain, you can only think about those things. You cannot talk about your personal services that actually change the way you look and make you happy in the middle of the night and take action because that is crossing a boundary. Like,
Right.
it's
Even
not
though,
going there.
yeah, even though you just booked your dinner reservation and you know you're going to want your hair done before dinner, you can't think about that right now. No.
No, and honestly, hello, let's just talk about that right there. That's like a marketer's dream. Like they just booked dinner and immediately thought of you. If that's what happens, you're doing it right. So then what you could do is have the ability for them to go on. And again, sure, they're going to go on and book themselves. Maybe it's perfect and seamless. Maybe you go on and you're like, oh man, that couldn't, like, I gotta mix that or something. But I'm going to tell you right now, you probably got them on your books when maybe you wouldn't have if they had
Right.
had to text you in the middle of the night. I know people that won't book a blowout unless they can do it online. Because they don't want to have to go that back and forth. That's just like a quick, and again, those are easy if you're in your building phase. You want to talk about starting to establish relationships with people, offer blowouts. That is a very quick, easy way of entry to just establishing relationships with people. And that's probably something that they're going to think about in the off hours.
Yes. And it's also an easy thing to actually book too, because it's like a
Yep.
fairly standard service, right? Not these like transformational appointments that could take anywhere from 2 to 8 hours.
Right. And you kind of get this feel out. That's actually how we had it set up in my salon. I was like, there's got to be a way for new stylists to start booking clients and getting comfortable with just staying on schedule. Because when you're starting out and you're starting to get booked, that's an important thing. I think if we're talking about the standard, like trying to get booked stylist, it's actually a skill to learn how to stay on time and manage your time during the day. So a cool way to do that is by offering easy cost entry and time services for people. And a blowout is what I did for new stylists just out of school. You would learn how to blow out the way I taught you how to blow out. People would book them, and then you'd have to learn how to stay on time with that. And then you would establish relationships. Those girls that started with me are now like freaking booked out, killing it. They started with blowouts.
I think it behooves us to also say that, staying on time for one person is going to be a different amount of time than staying on time for another person. I know when I first started doing hair, I am like a low and slow kind of person. Like I am methodical, I'm just kind of slow, really. I'm a slow weaver, I'm a slow painter, I'm a slow whatever. I just take my time. And I tried to be one of those stylists that was like a highlight takes 2 hours and fit in this box. And I always struggled with it. I was always running behind, or I was like cutting corners to try to be on time. And then I wasn't happy with my work and it would keep me up at night. And at some point, I remember thinking, I'm just slower and that's fine. And eventually, my prices met my time. And so I was charging more for my time. I was charging more for my services and it was fine. But it was first recognizing that what my speed is, right?
That's so good. And like you said, just being kind of honest about it. And then for you, so for you, if I was your a stylist who we've determined move slower, if I'm that stylist mentor or salon owner or whatever, I'm gonna say like, okay, I'm not going to change the timing of their services because that requires a whole reroute in my booking system. But what I am going to do is for this provider, I'm going to add buffer time between their appointments. And you can do that. You can go in with Schedulicity and you can say, like, buffer time, 15 minutes between every appointment or whatever. And then you sort of leave that room for a happy stylist, a happy client. And keep moving in that direction, unless they get faster, or maybe they don't, or maybe we just get to start charging more.
Right, yeah, or maybe you make a completely different service for that stylist that costs more, that takes more time, knowing they're going to do that. That's an interesting concept. I like that. All these little things that make sense when you say it out loud, and all these things, I'm like, yeah, I didn't do that when I had online scheduling. No wonder why I struggled.
Oh, I didn't. This is why I'm like, listen, I am the best person to talk about this because I was like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. I will never give up my at a glance book. And now I've just said, like, if I ever speak very strongly about not liking something, please just set your timer to it because I will come around and then apparently work for them. The other part that I've noticed for me personally is keeping, it kind of keeps that disappointment factor off of your hands and allows it to just be in this piece of technology. So if a client waited too long to get on your books, they're gonna go through that hole in their feels on their own, kind of as they're booking. They're gonna see, and they might check in and say, like, again, like I mentioned earlier, like, are you sure you don't have anything sooner? And I get just to say, like, yep, that's it. And they were actually able to see it in real time. And it didn't require you to feel like you were disappointing somebody. It didn't require them to maybe immediately have their reactive tendency, which is very real, because sometimes they're reactive towards us, but really they're upset with themselves. And it's hard to not take that personally. And then it kind of minimizes that in the moment knee-jerk reaction where we might want to offer to stay later, might want to offer to come in on our day out when really we're just kind of being reactive to people please. It mitigates some of that for us because the client's kind of going through that initial journey on their own.
Yeah. So I feel like in order to eliminate that altogether, that like emotional moment, you would have to eliminate yourself from the booking process. Because I could see, like, if I was wrapping up with a client and they're like, oh, can I schedule for next time? And I'm like helping them schedule, I'm still going to have that moment where like they're going to give me puppy dog eyes and be like, oh, shoot, I have something coming up that weekend, right? And then I'm going to be like, oh, okay, I'm going to need to get them in, right? So it's almost better to be like, go book.
Yep.
Do your thing. I'm
Yep.
uninvolved. I'm moving on to this next thing, right? Hands off.
And if you're a solo provider, which again, I don't think we talk enough about this. Well, I'm sure it is talked about now, but originally when was an independent, like you're literally the good guy, the bad guy, the best friend, all the things. You're like, hey, let me get you a coffee. And the like, we're gonna be best friends during your appointment. And then also, I have to tell you how much this is. It's just all so many hats in one, on top of having to stay on time. So kind of streamlining that checkout process with either with schedule, so you can actually like text them to check out. So you can just be like, just I sent you the link, go ahead and pay. Or
Oh, okay. I'll come
yeah,
back
it's
to
really
that.
cool. So, or you can check them out and then just say, like, okay, here's the link. You can rebook, like when you get to your car or whatever. Rebooking sometimes can take up to 5+ minutes. You've just gained that time back in your day when you've streamlined it like that, even in person. So, not even just to your point, when this person is at home, even during your day, if you're in a suite, it can help you streamline your day.
For sure. Okay, so I want to go back to you said you can just send them a link to pay.
Yeah.
That's pretty genius.
Yeah, it's really cool actually. It's a text to pay and it is the link is active for about 10 minutes. So they kind of know, like for me when I do it, actually what I will do sometimes because I'm the opposite of a slow mover. I actually have to make myself stop and think for a second that like not everybody wants to move this fast. I'll text them the link. They can check out while I'm looking to help them rebook their appointment. So we're kind of doing two things at once.
Fascinating.
Yes.
That's super cool. Well, I'm like, man, I wish I was working behind the chair again so I could be using this online booking system.
Oh, I mean, yes, listen, there are a million different ways to streamline, automate, do whatever with your business. And the best part about it is there's a million different ways to run your business. That's the part where if you started before social media and online booking, we maybe all were messing up on a regular basis, but we didn't know. We weren't faced with watching all of the information overload on a regular basis. So every time I have a conversation like this, I say there's no right or wrong way to run your business because that is proprietary to your goals, your personality, and all of that. But there are definitely tools that help.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's like you have to know how to use the tools in order for them to be helpful.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, does Schedulicity offer any sort of like onboarding call or any sort of hand holding when a stylist wants to start using them?
Yes. So, yes and no. We have a live in-person customer support team. So, they are available all the time and they're great and going to completely like help you as a real person deal with your things. Something that when I came on, we added in is that when you sign up for Schedulicity, you get a text that is a text that I wrote, and it is basically inviting you to a call with me if you would like to see a little bit more about what we have going on, or just have me help you walk through comparing it to what you've been on, or just look around. I'm happy to get on those calls and do it because I do have a little bit of a unique perspective. So my goal is to keep doing that as long as time permits. And then as time doesn't permit, we are building up a team to help kind of take on some of that. But yeah.
I love it. It's like really the same idea that we were just talking about with hairstylists using the technology and having to be a little bit hands-on still, right? Like the tech companies still have to be a little bit hands-on.
What? We have some crossover? Shocker.
I know. Isn't it so funny? Like, I know for me, the more I learn about s just systems and processes and businesses and all this stuff, user experiences, client journeys, all that stuff, it is so applicable. It like you just go down the chain, like here, and then it's here, and then all the way down to the end user.
Yep.
It's the exact same system, the exact same process, like no trust, no like trust, whatever it is, over and over and over again. It's
Yeah,
fascinating.
it totally is. And then for us, my biggest thing is the stylist is taught teach to sell. So the way that we are taught is our best performance, our best outcome from a relationship with us with a client is when we're going to educate them on the steps along the way, which is why I've been repeating on this call the client communication. But when we educate a client about what this journey looks like, or how to take care of their hair, or how to use this product, you're going to increase that trust, reliability, all of that factor. And so for us as a company, I'm super passionate about us saying, hey, if this is how the stylist or the service pro is teaching and talking to their client, this is how we have to be communicating back. We have to be providing like stylist and service pro centric education that is helping, because we're more than a tech company. I mean, we are a piece of technology, but the things that surround it's so much bigger than that.
And that is why I love bringing p businesses and people like this onto the show, because I could have interviewed a different company that doesn't speak specifically to hairstylists, but it is a very unique perspective when you have someone who is a hairstylist, was a hairstylist, and speaks to hairstylists, you know?
Yeah, I do love it. I love this little journey and we'll see where it goes. But yeah, it's super fun to be on sort of this opposite side, feeling like I'm getting to help serve the stylist in a different way.
I love it. Okay, well, if I have any listeners that are like, "All right, I'm sold. I want to jump in." Where do you suggest they go first to check out Schedulicity?
You can go to our Instagram. That's the easiest place, obviously, when you're on Instagram, or if you really just want to do a deep dive into all of the free materials that we have, you can go to schedulicity.com/essentials, and that is hundreds of blogs. We've got tutorials. We've got small little mini classes that we've done with industry educators that you can access for free. And that's sort of our hub of all things support related. So if you're really just kind of looking to see what we're all about and also get supported at the same time, I would say just go straight there.
Awesome. And then once they are signed up, they'll get a message from Missy.
You will. You will. Wait, I will say we have automated that because when I started this thought process, I was like, listen, I have an idea and I don't like to wait. You know, this is where it's like the hairstyles comes out, not the corporate girly. I'm like, I was straight up just texting new users from my cell phone. Let's talk about the opposite of boundaries. Totally fine. But I was like, listen, I have an idea. And then I was like, if I can get X amount of people to respond, then it's real. And I did. So then we did automate it, but now like what I wrote, we have a program that actually texts it for me. But then when you book, you see me. But yeah, it's no longer coming from my personal phone number because that was funny.
Yeah, I
I
bet.
was like, and I think maybe I took this too far.
Right. No, you know what? That's just what we do. We're like heart-centric creatives, you know, and we just got to jump on it when we feel it. I love
Yeah,
that.
exactly. I was like, I have an idea, you guys. We need another touch point. This hat, and it's coming from me.
Get it. Love it.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Well, thank you so much, Missy. This was really enlightening, really, on like how many steps I was missing personally in my scheduling process with online booking. I mean, oh my God. And I can't imagine how much value this is going to add to hairstylist life. So I really appreciate you coming on today and having this conversation with me.
I appreciate you having me. I love having these conversations. So I'm just grateful that you opened up your microphone for us to have this conversation.
Yeah, girl. Awesome. Well, we will be in touch. And for anyone that wants to go get a hold of Missy, get on Schedulicity. Thank you so
That's
much.
right. Thank
Bye-bye.
you.
All right, friend. Well, that wraps up this week's podcast episode. I hope that interview was insightful, enlightening, encouraging, and all of the other things above to help get you using your online scheduling platforms better. Now, I am going to add in the show notes here a link to the class that I did with Schedulicity, which is called The Emotionally Intelligent Hairstylist. Now, my friends, this is a free class. I highly recommend that you go watch it. Obviously, I'm biased, but this is some good stuff. I have had some fellow educators check this out, and they're like, girl, this is going to change people's lives. And I'm like, I know. So I want you to go check it out. I want you to watch the class. Tell me your thoughts afterwards. Love to hear it. I will have the link to that in the show notes here, along with any other links that you need to have for Schedulicity. And as I always love to say, I hope you have a wonderful hair day, my friend, and I'll see you next time. Okay, bye.